Devil know you mean business this morning. Let them know you're not playing around. Don't see the devil. You know, you show the devil signs of discouragement, he believes he won. Praise God. Amen. He thinks he's got you. So you can't show him. You got to put on your poker face, praise God. Anybody here play poker? I ain't never played poker in my life. But I heard the statement, put on your poker face. That means you ain't supposed to let people know you got a bad hand. You play the hand you got. And so then, and many times, you can win the game because you know how to put on a face that deceives your opponents, praise God. Satan can't read your mind. The only thing he can do is go by your actions and by your words, right. Praise God.
Yes.
He can only go by that. And if you keep speaking defeat, then he knows he's got you. But if you start speaking victory, you start smiling and rejoicing despite what you're going through, then you will win the battle, praise God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is double destruction power.
Destruction.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is the revelation.
The revelation.
Of His will.
Of His will.
For my life.
For my life.
Whatever it says I am. That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us by your power to be doers of your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to continue in our series of teachings on Does God Engage in Destructive Behavior. Praise God.
Amen.
I know we've been going with this for a while. Has anybody learned anything from this teaching? Well, then that's why we got to keep going, because y'all ain't learned nothing yet. Your silence speaks volumes. Praise God.
Amen.
So we'll keep going until you learn something. Amen.
Amen.
All right, but does God engage in destructive behavior? And we've been dealing with the subtopic, Satan is the destroyer, praise God.
Amen.
See, many times we are fighting against the wrong enemy. We are fighting against God. And you know your arms are too short to box with God. Because you keep blaming God for stuff and that he ain't doing. And it's the enemy doing it. As a matter of fact, I put something on social media yesterday that caused a whole bunch of controversy. Let me show it to you. I have a picture here of a demon-looking type of guy. It's probably Pan from the Greek mythology. It says, "You foolish Christians, I have deceived you into blaming everything I do on God's sovereignty. Now you just submit to all my evil deeds instead of standing against me." I like that. And Satan loves that. Praise God.
Yeah.
See, the Bible tells you need to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what?
Stand against.
Amen. I heard a preacher say that once. He read that scripture wrong. He said, "Stand the wiles of the devil." No, you don't want to stand them. You need to stand against them. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. So you stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God.
Okay.
See, Satan he's constantly on the attack. We got to recognize who our enemy is if we're going to walk in victory over this enemy. Now, like I told y'all in the past couple of weeks, it's not my intention to get you devil-focused. Matter of fact, somebody accused me just a couple of days ago of being a demon hunter. we don't look for demons under every rock, every tree, and every bush. Amen. That's not what we're trying to do. But we do recognize that Satan is out there. And God has given you and I the power, authority, and even the responsibility of dealing with him. Praise God.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we're waiting for God to do something about the devil. And God told you that you are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
He's not going to stand against them for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He wants you to stand against him. It's like I told y'all before. I remember when, growing up on the streets, and how I used to get in a fight sometimes. You know, in my neighborhood, fighting was almost a daily thing. I mean, you can be friends with somebody 1 minute, and then you get mad on that, and then y'all get into a fight. A fist fight, trying to knock the mess out of each other. And I remember one time, some dude came and beat me up. And I went to run in that house. My mother said, uh-uh. She said, you got two choices. You deal with him, or you deal with me. Which one you want? I looked at her, I looked at him, I said, I think he'll be easier to deal with. My mother wasn't gonna go out there and fight for me, praise God. She wanted me to go out there and deal with the boy. And I'm glad she did, because it taught me how to stand up for myself, praise Jesus. Amen. If my mother went out there and tried to stand up for me all the time, I would have been a weak wimp. And my mother can't go to school with me all the time. Amen?
Amen.
She couldn't be in the locker room with me when a few of them surrounded me and decided they're gonna jump me. Amen.
Amen.
She couldn't be with me when I'm walking home from school. She couldn't be with me all the time. So I had to learn to stand up for myself. I'm so glad she taught me how to do that. Hey, hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is what Jesus is trying to teach you and I right now. How to stand up for yourself. And a lot of Christians are living defeated lives because they are not being taught that they have an enemy. They're being taught that everything happens because of God's will. Praise God. They're being taught that God is controlling every single aspect of every single thing that happens, and those type of people who teach that type of thing will never or hardly ever talk about Satan's role in what's going on in the world. And I shared this with y'all before. I got a book sitting on my shelf, where a very well-known preacher. And I'm not going to mention his name, but I've mentioned his name. I think most of y'all, at least those of you who watch Christian television, would know exactly who he is. And you've probably watched him before. You probably got some of his books in your house. But I'll never forget the shock that I had when he said that 9/11, when those terrorists flew those airplanes into that building, that God was in control of the whole thing and that he knew what he was doing. Now, is God Allah? Because that's who those terrorists were worshiping. They were worshiping Allah, not Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
But this man seems to believe that no matter what happens, God willed it, even if it was in the name of a false god named Allah, praise God. Even if that tragedy destroyed many, many, many people's lives, including many Christians that were in that building. Praise Jesus. Now, we thank God that many of the Christians went to go home and be with Jesus. They shouldn't have gone home like that. But the sad part is that there were probably way, way, way many more unsaved people who went to hell. And you have people jumping out of buildings because the building was burning and there was fire all around and there was no way for them to escape, so they jumped. They jumped from multiple floors and just killed themselves, because it was easier to do that than to burn in that building. People dying. And some preacher has the audacity to tell you that that was of God. So you've got to understand who your enemy is. You've got to understand who the destroyer is. It is not God, but it is the devil. Hallelujah. So we went through a number of things. We're not going to go over today. We've got some of the messages online already, and we'll put more of them online. So if you want to go backwards and listen to some of the stuff that you haven't heard yet, or that you heard but you've forgotten, then get on to the webpage or go on to Vindicating God Ministries, vindicatinggod.org, I'm sorry. And you can listen to the teachings there. But we're going to move on. Last week, we talked about the fact that man gave everything over to Satan when he fell, praise God. We talked about the fact that Satan came into the Garden of Eden and that he began to say nasty things against God to the people there, to Adam and Eve. And so he basically attempted to destroy God's reputation in the minds of Adam and Eve. And obviously, he was successful because Adam and Eve, not only did they disobey God, but at one time they were fellowshipping with God, hanging out with God, chilling with God, and then all of a sudden they become afraid of God. How many of y'all have gone from fellowship to fear? I've been there. So you know, whenever I sin, then I'm scared to go in his presence. Amen. And which is kind of sad, because the Bible says that when you sin, what are you supposed to do?
Go
to him and repent. Praise God. Amen. But the thing is, Satan, the first thing, see, that's how Satan works. See, first he says, hey, you need to go ahead and commit that sin. Don't worry about it. God's not gonna be really mad at you. Not really, really mad at you. Or he'll tell you some other lie. You'll get away with it. And so you go ahead and you commit the sin. And then right after you commit the sin, Satan says, ooh, look what you did. You worthless Christian. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a saint. Look at you. That's how the devil works. And so now you listen to another lie of his, and you can't even go back to God. And God is sitting there saying, come back to me. Come just as you are. Praise God. Amen. What we got to do is learn to resist the lies of the devil. So Satan comes in the garden. He lies to Adam and Eve, and they no longer want to walk with God. They no longer want to serve God. And so God, in all of his mercy, in all of his grace, if God was like me, or like I used to be, because I'm learning more to be like God. Amen. but if he's like the Troy who just can be vindictive sometimes, he would have said, you know what? You made your own bed, you're lying. I told y'all not to eat from that tree, and you did it anyway. So you know what? Forget y'all. Bye. God could have done that. Praise God. He had every right to do it. But you know what he did? He said, you know what? I'm going to send a man, and he's going to stomp on you. And he told Satan, that man's going to stomp on your head. You might do a little damage to his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Praise God. So that was in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That was the first prophecy of Jesus Christ coming to the earth as a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Matter of fact, I personally believe that was Jesus Christ. And before he became a man, I believe that was Jesus Christ talking to the serpent that way. And that could have been the Father, you know, I don't know, but I think it was Jesus. He said, I'm going to send a man, and he's going to crush your head. In other words, he said, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you, boy. And so Jesus, or the Father, began to declare how he was going to rescue man from his own stupidity. Hallelujah. Now that got Satan real scared. And so if you read throughout the Bible, you may not always find Satan's name mentioned, but you will find Satan's activity throughout the whole Old Testament, glory to God. Amen. Every time Israel fell into idolatry, that was Satan working behind the scenes, amen. Every time Israel was attacked by the enemy, that was Satan working behind the scenes. Glory to God. Satan was trying to see, God had chosen a nation through which the Messiah would come. He had chosen Abraham, and he told Abraham that through you, all the world would be blessed. Praise God. Amen. See, Satan's smarter than many of us. He knew what that meant. He said, uh-oh, that means that the Messiah is coming through that guy. So I got to do what I can to destroy him. So he tried to do a few things to Abraham. He wasn't successful, thank God. Then he tried to do a few things to Joseph, to Jacob. He tried to do things to them. He couldn't do it. So he decided to enslave Israel in the Egyptian camp. Amen. He tried to kill every firstborn male of Egypt. Of Israel, praise God. Amen. He did everything he could to stop the Messiah from coming. And so it's been a battle between him and God throughout the whole centuries for the redemption of you and me.
Praise God.
Now somebody might ask, well, Pastor Troy, what do you mean there's a battle between Satan and God? Isn't God stronger than Satan? It's not a battle based on power. Hallelujah. I have this picture of God, and I'm far from the first one to say this. As a matter of fact, I stole this from somebody else. I have this picture of God as a cosmic chess player. Amen. And I believe that this is it, between Satan and God is a game of chess. But I saw a film the other day. There's this guy, and I can't remember his name now, but he's a master chess player. And he was playing chess with, I think, like 16 students all at one time, blindfolded. And he was walking, he would walk down, put it, do his thing. You know, I never played chess. I played checkers. I think Radimus knows how to play chess. But I know how to play checkers. I don't know much about chess. But I was watching how he would walk down, and he was beating all 16 of them students blindfolded. Because he's a master chess player. See, they may make a move, and they think they got him. Because they think he's distracted trying to deal with another person. But he still will come back and beat them. Praise God.
Amen.
And so God is like a master chess player, except he's even greater than that. And so every time Satan tried to make a move, God was able to counter that move. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, the battle that's between God and Satan is not about power. Because if it was about power, the battle would have been over. There would never have been a battle. Amen. Because God would have completely just annihilated him. But see, God could not do that and be a just God. Amen.
Amen.
And so, and we've explained that before. We can get into it again at another time. But I just want to show you how even after he could not stop the Messiah from being born. Praise God.
Amen.
But even after the Messiah was born, he still tried to destroy him. Amen.
Amen.
And let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And we got it up on the screen for those of you who need to read it. Matter of fact, you will see in Matthew chapter 2 that he tried to do the exact same thing to the Israelites that he did in Egypt. He did it in Rome. Satan ain't got no new methods. He tries to abort children. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to kill off the firstborn
in Egypt,
and then he tried to do the same thing again in order to track Jesus down. And here, when you read the scripture, you will find out that Satan is not like God. He is not all knowledgeable. Praise God. Because if he knew exactly who Jesus was, he could have gotten to the baby a lot quicker than trying to kill off everybody. Amen.
Amen.
And so Satan, he's not all knowledgeable. He can't read everybody's mind. He can't be in every place at one time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, some of y'all be worrying about Satan knowing your business. And like I told you, he only knows your business if you tell him. And he doesn't, and it's not necessary that Satan is in your house. Amen. You can run Satan out of your house, and you can talk about stuff in your house, and Satan will never, ever know about it. But if you invite Satan in, or when I say Satan, I'm talking about his demons. Because Satan, he can only be in one place at one. He's not like God. God is omnipresent. Satan can only be in one place at one time. But he has a whole bunch of demons that can come in and do and assist him in his work. Amen. And so if you allow demons in your house, then yeah, they're going to know your business. And they go back and report to headquarters about you. But if demons can't get into your house, then they don't know what's going on. And some of us got hedges around our house where demons can't break through. Glory to God. Y'all remember Job? God said, have you been targeting, and the literal translation of that passage says, have you been targeting or trying to destroy my servant Job? And Satan says, well, I can't even get to the boy because you got this hedge around him. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you need to look at that and think about that for a minute. Satan couldn't even get to Job at that time because there was a hedge around Job. So he couldn't even get any intelligence. Hallelujah. He couldn't even get any information on Job. And so all he had to, the only thing he had to do was guess. Well, I bet you, I tell you what, God, I bet you, if you touch everything that he has right now, he'll curse you to your face. He didn't know that for sure, because he knew nothing about Job. Because there was a hedge around Job keeping Satan and his demons from getting access to him. Glory to God.
Amen.
Man, y'all need to learn to put head. You need to run. If you got devils in your house, you need to run them out.
Amen.
And you need to ask God to, all right, restore that hedge.
Amen.
I remember Pastor Christick was telling me about, I think it was a Nigerian preacher. He said that some witch doctors decided they were going to go in and destroy the man. They were going to go to his house and kill him. And so they go to his house, and they go to this preacher's house to try to kill this man, and they can't even get past. There's a hedge of protection around this man, a bunch of angels. And because the man, the preacher's praying and he's believing God, they can't even get to the man's house. Praise God.
Amen.
Because there was a hedge of protection around him. See, Satan can't. He just can't do anything he wants to do, and so Satan doesn't have all knowledge. He doesn't have all power, and he doesn't have all wisdom. He does have knowledge, he has power, he has wisdom, but God has way more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I still can't understand why Satan thinks he's going to win this war, but he's already lost. Glory to God.
Amen.
But look at what he tries to do. He makes an attempt to try to destroy Jesus. And this is important because if you understand that he even tried to destroy the Messiah himself, what makes you think that he ain't going to come after you? What makes you think that he ain't going to try to get in your business? But let's look at Matthew chapter 2. This is very important so you can understand who the destroyer is. God didn't send Satan after him. Amen.
Amen.
The Father didn't send Satan after Jesus. Matter of fact, the Father rescued Jesus and had him go somewhere else, to Egypt. Alright, Matthew chapter 2, begin at verse 13, it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Herod was nothing more than an agent of the devil. He was an agent of the devil who attempted to destroy our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
And so, because Herod, and see, listen, they went into Egypt. Obviously, Satan didn't know he didn't know who the Messiah was. He didn't know whether it was Mary and Joseph that had the Messiah. He didn't know any of that. And so, because Herod didn't know where the child was or who the child was, he decided, I'm going to kill every child that was born on that day from 2 years and up. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Satan has to do these hit and miss type of things because he knows he can't get to the child automatically because he doesn't have all knowledge, praise God.
Amen.
And so, Satan attempted to destroy our Lord Jesus even from the beginning of his birth. So you can see that there's been a warfare going on for your soul and my soul, and the only way for us to be saved was for the Father to keep Jesus alive, praise God.
Amen.
And so, then we go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, looking at verse 14.
Bring it up on the screen here.
So Jesus began his life already having problems with the devil. I mean, just born, and the devil's already after him. You know, you're on a mission if somebody just gave birth to a baby and Satan's already trying to kill that baby. That baby must be destined for something great. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's why If your life is gone miserable, if Satan's attacking you, instead of you crying and whining, you need to be rejoicing. Praise God. There must be something in your life that Satan is afraid of. He's trying to keep you down, and you just need to learn to overcome that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, it all depends on you. If you learn to stand against the wiles of the devil, these attacks won't last forever. Glory to God.
Amen.
God has a destiny. He has a plan for your life. But when we at this church talk about predestination, we're not talking the way Calvinists talk about it, where everything happens because God has designed it to already happen that way and nothing can change it. When God has a predestined plan for your life, the predestined plan requires your cooperation and my cooperation. Amen.
Amen.
We need to cooperate with God. And God had a predestined plan for Jesus' life. But how many of y'all know that Jesus could have messed that plan up if he wanted to? He sure could have. You remember in the garden, he said, "Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus could have said, "You know what? I ain't doing this. All that torture, putting them nails in my hand, I ain't going through all that." And, you know, I've been down here for 33 years and they ain't showed no kind of appreciation whatsoever. You know what? I ain't going through all that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he told Peter, I could have called a legion of angels to help me if I wanted to. Jesus could have done that. When they came to get him, he could have said, "Angels! Father, send them angels here. Deal with these people. I ain't going through this." Amen.
Amen.
He could have done it. But he looked at you, he looked at me, and he said, "You know what? They're worth the pain. They're worth the torture." So if Jesus went through all that torture and he went through all that pain for you, then listen to me, baby. He's got a plan for you. We need to stand. We need to not quit. We need to not give up. We need to go forward in the plan that God has for us. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Because Jesus went through hell, literally, in order to get you to the place where you can walk and conquer the devil and make it through that plan. But look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. It says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Oh, glory to God. The Pharisees were looking to destroy Jesus. Now, let me show you something here so you can understand that you got to learn a very important secret here. You got to learn that when men and women are standing against you, you can't look at the man and the woman standing against you. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with the spirit that's behind the man and the woman that's trying to hurt you. Mm-hmm. See, we are, you know, we talk about forgiveness. One area that will help you to be able to forgive people is when you start acting like Jesus. Jesus, when he was on the cross and they were teasing him and they were downing him and talking bad about him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." In other words, Jesus was saying, there is an influence behind these people, Father, so please forgive them. There's a bad influence behind them. There's a demonic influence. Jesus recognized that. And see, these Pharisees, Herod was an agent of the devil, and these Pharisees that sought to destroy Jesus was also of the devil. Look at John chapter 8, verse 40. Begin at verse 40. You're going to see that these Pharisees were agents of Satan who attempted to destroy our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
So when you're coming against men who are trying to destroy your life, remember who's the agent behind those men and those women. When Sister Sally on the job is gossiping about you, just remember two things. Remember about all the times you gossip about somebody else. So remember, you're reaping what you sow. So just simply say, "Father, now I recognize how much it hurt when I gossip about somebody else. Forgive me and forgive that person in Jesus' name."
Amen.
And then recognize that it's the devil behind that person trying to hurt you, trying to destroy your life, trying to destroy the career that God has tried to make out for you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But here in John chapter 8, verse 40, it says, "But now ye seek to kill me, He's talking to the Pharisees here. A man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now, verse 44 is the kicker. I need to make sure I get this up on the screen. Now listen to this. Now remember, we just read Matthew 12:14, right? Matthew 12:14 said what? They sought to destroy him. Praise God. Now, look at John 8:44. It says, Jesus talking to these same Pharisees that took counsel, trying to figure out how to destroy him. He says this about them. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The main point I want you to see today is that the Pharisees attempted to destroy Jesus, and we read in another book that these Pharisees were being influenced by the murderer, the original murderer, Satan himself. Praise God.
Amen.
So you need to get this revelation. You need to get this understanding. When you got people out there trying to destroy your life, you've got to recognize the spirit that is behind these people. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to learn to deal with the actual source itself. Satan and not God is the destroyer. Amen.
Amen.
I remember years ago how I was, and I'm sure y'all heard this story before, but you'll hear it again. But because it'll help you. But I remember when I was on a job, and there was this woman who just kept harassing me. The woman that worked for me kept harassing me, just was disrespectful, and I just couldn't understand what was going on, why she was acting like this. And you know, my first temptation was to assert my rank and my authority and to destroy her, praise God. But as a Christian, I just could not do that. And so I went home during lunchtime one day and began to pray and say, Father, what is going on? I don't understand. Why is so-and-so acting like this? Do I need to write her up? Do I need to put her on discipline? And the Lord, he just said these simple words. Deal with the spirit behind her. And so then I said, you evil spirit that's working through so-and-so, I'm not going to mention the person's name, they might be listening to it. I rebuke you, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I went to work, and that young lady's attitude for the rest of the time she worked for me was completely different. Praise God.
Amen.
I mean, she was kind, she was sweet, she was a totally different person after that. And I said, well, hey, this stuff works. Praise God.
Amen.
And I remember some years afterwards, I'm talking to a young friend of mine. You know, we were both working in the tape ministry together at the church. And so he starts, he was really going through a tough time at his job because, you know, he's the only black person on his job. And the white people were just treating him very, very badly. You know, basically he really believed there was a lot of racism going on his job. And so, my being sympathetic towards that because, you know, being a black man, I know we'd like to go through racism. Amen. And so as he started telling me about the racism going on in his job, I started relating all my horror stories too. And as I got to some of my horror stories, the Lord rebuked me right there. He said, Troy, he said, I did not send that man to you so you can make him feel even more miserable. He said, I sent him to you so you can help him. And I looked at him, I said, man, I told the brother, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, you know what, I'm sitting here telling you my miseries and my past miseries when I should have been helping you to deal with the situation. So I said, let's pray. And we grabbed our hands and we began to pray for his office. We began to rebuke the spirits of racism in his office. And you know, we left it that day. The next Sunday, we're working on Chase Ministry again. He just came there smiling. He's like, he said, Troy, he said, man, I don't know. It just totally changed my office, man. He said, things are so good there now. He said, they're treating me so well. I said, I said, okay, God. I said, I see where I messed up, where I missed it, praise God. Amen. But we've got to learn to deal with the spirits that are operating behind these people. Satan is the destroyer, not God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's not influencing these people to destroy your life. God didn't influence the terrorists of 9/11 to crash their airplanes into that building. Matter of fact, God was working behind the scenes to rescue as many people as he can. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's not the one who sends the tornadoes the tsunamis. Thank you, Ravens. All these other things to destroy us. I like something that Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lott, said. What she said, it was so powerful. She said somebody wrote her one day and said, why does God send all these natural disasters to hurt us, to destroy people's lives and destroy their houses? And Ann Graham Lott wrote them back and she said, my dear, she said, God is just as saddened by these things and even more saddened by these things than you and I are. She said, but what is he supposed to do when we kicked him out of our schools, kicked him out of our government buildings, kicked him out of our courthouses, and we decided to shake our fist in his face and tell him we don't want him? What is he supposed to do? Amen.
Amen.
We done told God, we done told our kids, don't pray no more in school. We done told our Supreme Court judge or our judges in all the lands, we don't want these Ten Commandments sitting here anymore. We done told the children, you can't pray before football games anymore. We done told our kids, take birth control and have all the sex you want. We done told our kids, oh, you got a baby? Here's a clinic down the street. Kill it. We done told these to our kids. We done told them you don't need God. We done told this nation we don't need God. And then we wonder why things are so messed up. Praise God. Satan has really weaved his sinister plan into the United States of America. And he has infiltrated our government. He has infiltrated our politicians. He has infiltrated even some of the uninformed voters who keep voting these people into office. Praise God.
Amen.
Satan is the one working behind the scenes. This ain't God. God doesn't want, he didn't ask for abortion-believing politicians, homosexual-believing politicians to be in the office, praise God. He didn't ask for people who affirm Islam to come over here and you know, go into other places like Europe and start molesting and raping women. He didn't ask for that. It was us, the people, who did that, praise Jesus. We are completely responsible for that. Satan has been working behind the scenes, working through people to get his agenda done. Satan is the one attempting to destroy our nation right now. And yet we sit there and we constantly blame God for everything. How dumb can we be? I could have gotten an amen on that one, whether you liked it or not. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're dumb. Mankind as a whole, we are dumb because we just continue to let Satan have his reign in our lives. Let me go through this real quickly. We're almost done. We're almost out of time. I got a few more minutes. I got three whole pages, and I'm not going to give them. I'm going to go through them as fast as I can within the 5 minutes that I have left. Well, actually, I got 5 minutes and 2 seconds. All right, but let's look at Psalm 107 very quickly. I want you to see how Satan works. As I told you earlier, Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time like God can. But Satan does have demons and fallen angels that he works through. And he is the one who works through sickness and disease, praise God. You know, I know there are some people that are sick today. That's why they're not here. You think it's God's will that they not be here? It's not God's will that my wife not be here. Praise God. I need her here. Amen. Sickness is not of God. Sickness, when you're sick, somebody else has to take care of you. They got to take time out of their busy schedule to do stuff for you. Amen. Things they could be doing other things, but they got to take care of you now. Sickness has caused me to have to drive to New Jersey multiple times last year, and a couple times even this year. I had to go to a funeral last month because of my little sister. Although we were cousins, she's really my little sister because we grew up together, praise God. My mother adopted, had taken her in and raised her. This was my little sister. For her to get cancer and die, that's not of God. God didn't need me to go through all that grief. God didn't need her children and her grandchildren. And she was raising her grandchildren. And now they don't have their grandmom in their life anymore. God, that's not of God. Let's look at Psalm 107. When you have it, say amen.
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 Good. Now wait for me to get there. I'm trying to get through this real quick. Oh my goodness, I done wasted 2.5 minutes just talking about that. But, it wasn't a waste. I think y'all needed to hear it. Psalm 107. I just want to finish this aspect of it today. Next week, I know that Pastor Steve and Pastor Mary won't be here, but it's too late for me to cancel. We're going to, Pastor Elaine Golden and Pastor Kathy Bailey and their, and the ladies will be here next week to minister. Pastor Elaine Golden believes that God has given her a strong message from the Lord for this particular, she's been praying for this church, and she believes that God has given her a strong message for this church, and she says it's called release.
Amen.
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 She said that the Lord has spoken to her about it's time for some things to be released in this church that God has planned for this church, praise God.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to hearing the message because I do believe we need some things released. Glory to God, we need some things released in this church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We got to get past some of it. And I'm not even talking about numbers and growth and stuff like that. I'm talking about our attitudes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm talking about our diligence and our faithfulness for Christ. I mean, if we only had 5 people here, and we were faithful 5 people, we accomplish a lot of things for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be in a church full of 1,000 people and accomplish nothing for the Lord.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, 1,000 people can do a lot more than 5 if they're committed to Christ. Amen. All right, Psalm 107, beginning verse 17, it says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Why are people afflicted?
Transgressions
and iniquities. Does it say anywhere that God did this to them?
No.
Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Praise God.
Amen.
So it's not God who destroys people. He's the one who delivers from destruction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at Psalm 91. Go there real quickly. Real quickly. I got 30 seconds. Real quickly. Psalm 91. Y'all give me an extra 2 minutes, okay? Give me an extra 2 minutes. Psalm 91. Quickly. Let's just put it on. Psalm 91 says he, let's start with verse 3. I love the whole psalm. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The snare of the fowler. The fowler is a metaphor for Satan. Praise God. That's who is. When he talk about the fowler, it's talking about Satan. He's the trapper. He's the fowler, the hunter. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust his truth. Trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the owl that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, say pestilence,
pestilence,
that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. See, that pestilence is sickness. I like some of the other translations of verse 6. Praise God. Let me put them up on the board. It says in the International Children's Bible, you will not be afraid of diseases that come in the dark or sickness that strikes at noon. And another word, if you go to the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it tells you that it's talking about the demon of noonday. Praise God.
Amen.
It says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction, say destruction,
destruction,
that wasteth at noonday, or the demon that works at noonday. So destruction is synonymous with Satan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at Mark chapter 9 with me real quickly. Let's get there. And this is our last scripture. Thank y'all for giving me a couple of minutes. I'm trying to go through these real fast so we can finish this part of the series. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't have to go back to this one again for at least another 2 or 3 months. Anyway, Mark chapter 9 in your New Testament. That's the second book in your New Testament. It's right after Matthew. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 21. And it says, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? This is talking about a boy who was possessed of a demon of epilepsy. And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Say destroy him.
Destroy.
See, Satan is... Satan attempts to destroy through sickness and disease, praise God.
Amen.
And uses demons to destroy using sickness and disease. So are you seeing this in the Bible? Are you guys not seeing, you seeing that in the Bible that it's Satan, not God, that does these things?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said unto him, and see, we got to follow the Bible. We can't follow traditional teachings of people. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people came together, and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, Jesus is not the destroyer. He is the healer and the rescuer.
Amen.
Satan tried to destroy Jesus himself. See, if Satan... Some of the people who I sometimes get into discussions or heated debates with will tell you, well, Satan he can only do whatever God wills him to do. That's crazy. If Satan, then what? That means God will Satan to try to destroy Jesus, try to kill Jesus off before his time. I mean, some of these teachings are insane, but you will hear them. You will hear them across the television, you will hear them across pulpits in America, and many of them will call people like me a heretic because I'm telling you what the Bible says instead of what tradition says. Praise God. But you need to learn to believe the word of God over the traditions of men. Jesus said that, told the Pharisees, he said, you made the word of God nothing because of your traditions. You made the word of God ineffective due to your traditions. Well, I want to tell y'all today that here at CBBTC, we want to exalt the word of God over tradition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to do our best to keep doing that until the Lord says otherwise. And I seriously doubt he'll say otherwise, because he said that not one jot or tittle will ever pass away from this word. Glory to God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.